hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Tuesday right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Emeritus Assembly of God. We want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 a.m. on WWBC, 1510 a.m., or one of the FM corresponding frequencies. So today is a broadcast that I think may be very thought-provoking. If it's not, well, I've been wrong before. But I think it might be something that when you think about deliver us from evil, you may not think of this verse when it comes to, you know, not bearing false witness against your neighbor, not lying, or any of the other things that we have we've been talking about in this sub-series. But I think if you listen to today's program, it might give you something and say, you know what, let's go back and take a look at that again and you know, maybe put in an action plan. Say, God, is there anything here that relates to me and how I can correct that? Is there anything that you want me to do so that I can prevent this from happening in my life? And so we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. And we're going to only read three verses today, but it'll probably take us the entire program to get through these three verses. If we get done early, I will have to stretch out my word. No, I'm just teasing, just messing with you. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse number 19. Hopefully that was funny. It was meant to be funny, but if it wasn't, it was a borrowed joke. Maybe. Verse number 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthless and unprofitable things. Will a man make gods for himself which are not gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my right hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. First of all, I'll start off by saying this. It was never God's intent to be exclusionary of a relationship with other people. He chose the Jewish people as a covenant people so that he could demonstrate and display the blessings of God so that others would say, you know what, I want to have a relationship with that God. Due to some societal issues and the fact that other people chose idolatry rather than worshiping the one true God, there ended up being this wall of division. Jesus came and broke down that wall so that God could be clearly seen as the God of the Jews and the God of the Gentiles, making for himself one people out of these two people groups. Jesus said, you know, that his house was to be a house of prayer for all nations. So I want you to see that no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, what your language dialect may be, God has always wanted to dwell in your midst and be the central focus of your attention. And here he addresses the Gentiles. He addresses the fact that he wants them to know him, that he has a plan and a purpose for reaching them. And so he has talked before, and he comes to verse number 19, and he says, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies. So the primary thought that I want to launch with today is from this concept, surely our fathers have inherited lies. And at some point in time, somebody in our past made decisions that were either of benefit to us or of consequence to us. They either set us up for knowing God or they set us up for not knowing God. But it doesn't exclude from us that no matter where we have come from, today we have the opportunity to make that right. I believe that when Jesus talks about that, you know, it'd be better for someone to have a millstone hung around them their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. At some point in time, all of us were children. All of us have people who were powerful influencers in our life. Some of them caused us to inherit wisdom. Some of them caused us to inherit truth. Some caused us to inherit folly and deception. So I want to ask you today, as you look at this verse in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse number 19, where it says, surely our fathers have inherited lies, is there something in your life that as you evaluate it in the light of God's word, you say, you know what? I believe that I have inherited a mindset, a habit, an addiction, a practice, a lifestyle that may in fact be deception. Now, if you look at this passage, you will see that it was that the kids that were saying this were saying that their fathers had inherited that thing. It was something that didn't just start with them. It was something that preceded the generation, or it at least impacted the generation before them. For some, that cycle has gone on and on and on. That's one of the reasons why missions is so important. And so at Merit Assembly of God, I just last week, I was reviewing the missions aspect of our church once again, and found, you know, we're still on track. Boy, I wish we could do even more. And I believe the way that we do more missions is that we grow the church here locally so that we will be empowered to be able to do more on a national and international scale. So that's where our focus is going to be. Because there are people around the globe who have inherited lies, but it also impacts us here on the local level. If you believe something from the time that you're a little kid, it is going to be very challenging, very difficult to break that mindset. It can be done, though. It can be done. God talks about breaking that cycle of deception right here in Jeremiah chapter 16. You may have avoided the book of Jeremiah with the exception of chapter 29. You may have avoided it because, you know, he's the weeping prophet. It's woe is me and all of this doom and gloom type of stuff. And you know, after all, he's the weeping prophet, and who wants to be around someone that's crying all the time? But I want you to realize that in every book, even in Leviticus, there are some powerful truths in God's word that if we look at them, we will find that there is truth worth knowing there. If it was worth God saying, it is worth us knowing. So what is it that as you look around, you say, you know what, there may be some things that I have believed all my life, applied all my life, and yet when I measure it up with the word of God, I find that it does not line up with the word of God very well. Therefore, I have inherited a lie. Now you see, you've got to evaluate, in order to come to that conclusion, you have to have the standard of the Word of God as your true north, your measure of truth. If it is just your heart that you are talking about, let me see if I can find this verse real quick. It was coming up in just a few. Let's see, where did it go? Oh, it's in the very next chapter. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's Jeremiah chapter 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, there are many people that think that man is basically good and he just messes up from time to time. But that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that because of sin, because we have embraced sin, embraced idolatry, embraced deception, that we live in this fallen, painful, hurting world, and it has caused our heart to be inclined away from God towards evil rather than away from evil and towards God. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So whenever a person says, well, I just got to be true to what I feel, well, you know, I have felt good one moment and I felt really horrible the next. I looked the same. You know, I continued to eat the things that I had always eaten, but something had changed in my body to where my feelings were altered. At one moment, I felt healthy. The next moment, maybe not so healthy. The heart is deceitful. It will lie to you, and God does not want you inheriting lies either from your heart, from society, from politicians, from family members, from Hollywood or entertainment. He doesn't want you inheriting any deception. I believe that we have a tremendous responsibility to make sure that the legacy that we leave does not negatively impact other people. So surely our fathers have inherited lies. That's what the prophet prophesies, that the Gentiles are going to come to God and say, look, up until this point, we have lived apart from you. We have lived in deception because of the culture that we inherited. You cannot change the things that you have inherited, but you can change how they impact you in the days going ahead. So I would like to suggest that maybe we do a little Holy Spirit evaluation in our lives and say, God, would you test my heart? Would you check my heart? If there is any untrue thing inside of me, if there's a mindset that I've embraced that is not of you, then God, I want you to correct that. I want you to change the foundation, change the will so that I do not inherit deception. It's not only inherited lies, but there's two other adjectives that are used here in verse number 19. And it says, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. Now, worthlessness, one of the things that I remember from the long time that I preached from the New International Version of the Bible was this, that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. You were not created as a worthless individual. God had a purpose for you, created from the foundations of the world. You are here on divine assignment, and yet the enemy will come in and try and use deception, an improper attitude towards your worth as a human being. He will do all of that, try to get you to follow things that are not going to benefit you in the long run. All of that he will try and do to prevent you from fulfilling your God-ordained purpose. We'll talk about that a little bit more at a later time. The reality is, worth is actually defined not on what you, let's see, what is the appraise the value at. That was the word I was looking for. You know, you might think that you are worth a whole bunch of money. Clothing is one of those things that you go to the store, you pay a high price for it, then you take it to a resale shop and you say, you know, how much is this worth? And they'll tell you it's worth pennies on the dollars that you paid for it. And a lot of times people get taken aback by that because they remember the price that they paid for it, not the price that someone was willing to pay for it. Now, I can tell you that our worth was exceptionally high if we lived in a sin-deprived world, but we do not. Sin comes in and it diminishes value quite substantially. But for us, as human beings created in the image of God, our value is defined on the price that God was willing to pay for us. And he paid top dollar. You have probably been like I have, that have you faced rejection, you faced disappointment. You know, you thought you were going to be able to be at a certain status economically, but you know, my first several jobs paid absolutely horrifically. You know, I worked 70 hours a week one time, brought home $84, and got a bedroom. There my next job I made $125 at that point in time. $125 a week at that point in time. I was married with a child, but I wasn't doing ministry for the money. You know, from there we went back to volunteer, and then $50 a week, and then back to volunteer, and then $50 a week, and it's progressively gotten better since that point in time. Don't allow the devil to convince you that you are worthless, because that is part of the deception. It says, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things, things that are not going to enhance the bottom line. A lot of people will go and they will pay big bucks for something. I read an article last week about a restaurant that had a great reputation. There were long lines, rude waiters, and inferior quality food, but people were paying top dollar for it because of the legacy that the restaurant had going back for nearly 200 years, I believe. And yet something had changed in that, and people were saying, you know what, I don't believe it is going to profit me to continue to eat at that particular restaurant. I want to ask you, not how are things going to profit you in the here and now. Have you inherited things that are not going to be profitable for you when it comes to eternity, when all of the workings of our lives are tried by fire? Some are going to be wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to be consumed in the fire, but those would therefore be unprofitable things. But other things are going to come forth shining as gold, metal, and precious stones refined in the fire. They are going to be of tremendous value. I want you to know that you are profitable to the kingdom. God wants you to be profitable to the kingdom. He doesn't want you inheriting things that are lies, worthless, or unprofitable. I want to flip the script now for just a moment and say, what sort of inheritance are you going to leave for others? Are you going to leave them a foundation of truth? I look at some things in my life and say, you know, because of some of the things that I experienced in my life, my children have inherited some challenges that they didn't have anything to do in creating. They were things that I created because of some deception in my life, and they got to live with those. But I tell you, my goal is to do my very best to set them up to succeed where I may have failed. Failure is not necessarily final. It's not necessarily fatal if it teaches you, saying, you know what, that was a lie from the enemy. It was worthless. It was unprofitable to me. So I don't want to leave that as my legacy. I want to help set up my heirs, whether they're biological heirs or church heirs or radio ministry heirs. I want to set them up so that they inherit truth and worth and profitability. So if we look at ourselves from the first part and say, what are some of the things that I've inherited that we can make the adjustment in our life? And today we can evaluate and say, God, I want to be very determined that I leave this type of inheritance to those who come after me. Things that are true, are of high value, and they are going to benefit the people who listen to them. Okay, so this deliver us from evil can apply to this concept. Deliver us from the things that we inherited that were not of godly benefit to our lives, so that we can leave a godly benefit to those who come after us. Okay, I believe that all of us probably have some areas in our lives where we inherited some things that we would say, you know, I really wish I didn't have that in my background, because it minimized or it set me up in a manner which I really think would have been better without that in my life. But, you know, here on November the 5th, 2019, I'm setting my heirs up to succeed. Now, verse number 21, this is where God's heart is. If you've come from that deceptive inheritance background of worthlessness and unprofitability, God says, because they've come to me, because this is their heart that they want to know me, he said, therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, I will cause them to know my right hand, or cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. That's what the enemy is trying to deprive us of, is knowing God, knowing his hand of favor, knowing his hand of authority, knowing his power on demonstration in our life. And God says, I've got people that are coming from a background where they had never even heard of me, that they're going to walk in the fullness of my power. They're going to walk in the fullness of relationship with me because they heard the truth. They changed what their kids, what their descendants were going to inherit. He says, I'm going to cause them to know me. You know, a lot of people get their knowledge secondhand. But God says, I don't want you having secondhand knowledge. He says, I'm going to be very proactive. I'm going to be revealing my hand to you. I'm going to be revealing my power to you, my strength, my goodness, my holiness. I am going to cause you to know that I am the one true God. Of those lies and worthless and unprofitable things, a lot of that had to do with idolatry, where gods were created by man. And that's never going to have any lasting value. But when you come to the God who created man on purpose for his purpose, what a great privilege to be able to know him. Do you realize how blessed we are in America? We have the opportunity to grow in our relationship with God. And the only person who limits us is us. That's the truth. You have the access to more resources, more versions of the Bible than you can possibly read, all designed to help you to understand and know God, and that He is proactive in your life. There's teaching on television, teaching on the radio, teaching on YouTube, teaching through video libraries and things like that, all sorts of things. And yet we in America, we just kind of many times sit back and think that we're going to just fall into it. That person was born that way. I'm here to tell you, God wants to be a source of cause and effect. The cause is He wants to cause us to know His hand, to know His might, to know Him. And as a result of that, they said, they're going to know that My name is the Lord. God is not going to be inferior to anybody. He's not going to take a second place to Nebuchadnezzar, who was known as the King of Kings. And God kind of said, allow me to introduce myself. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He, whether it is a military power, Joshua had led many military campaigns. And then one day, an angel of the Lord shows up, and Joshua, who I am very impressed with, he approaches him and says, are you for us or for neither? I'm captain of the army of the Lord of hosts. I'm here. I'm on God's business. I'm on God's side. And I think that there's a lot that we could say, God, would you compel me to inherit truth in my life, sound biblical truth? God, where I know you, know that you are not only the God of the past and not only the God of the future, you're the God of today. You're the God of right now. You're not aged and worn out. You're a powerful God. You're a true God. You're always going to remain that way. I pray today that if you find something that you've inherited that was a lie, that you'll say, I'm going to get rid of that, and I'm going to replace it with truth, and I'm going to make sure that the people who follow after me, they're going to inherit sound biblical truth in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sing us, Lord, we will shout that He is good.